What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. My name is Adam. I'm your host. So on today's episode, I'm going to be talking about a concept that has sort of been proven, sort of not. It's a concept that I think is a decent way if you're trying to, I don't know, I guess buy low on somebody. But I mean, the concept basically stems from Trevor May, who I think I've talked about, you know, at this point, I think we're on episode like 295. So the chances that I've talked about like an obscure concept or idea at this point, I feel like are fairly high. And I don't remember how much detail I went into when I was talking about Trevor May and his cards. So basically, Trevor May, if you don't know who he is, he's a pitcher for the Twins, but he also is a fairly decently sized Twitch streamer, and across basically all of his social media platforms, he has 200,000 on Instagram, I think he has 150 on Twitter, and then he has 175 followers on Twitch. So, you know, that's pretty, in my opinion, that's pretty impressive, because from social media and from what I've seen, typically what will happen with most people who are big on social media, they'll be big on like one platform, but the rest of the platforms will not like suffer, but they won't be as popular. So for Trevor May to essentially have between 150 to 200,000 followers on three of probably the most important platforms, and on YouTube, I'm sure I actually didn't check YouTube what he has on there, but actually I can just look it up right now really quick. Let me see, because maybe he might not. He should have a YouTube if I had to guess. Let's see. Oops. Trevor. Because I think another person that falls in this category is going to be, so yeah, he has 35,000 on YouTube, which that's, you know, 35,000, that's still very good. I think I have like 35 followers on YouTube. So that's, I mean, across all of his social media platforms, I think he does a very good job at, I don't know, I guess he does a good job at using all of them. I don't know if that's really like a thing, if that's just using them makes him good, but if you've watched his streams, like he was on he was on a roast, and I forget who, I think they were roasting Tim the Tatman, because I know it wasn't Nick. Yeah, I think it was their roast. No, who, yeah, were they? Was that who it was? I think it was his birthday, and they did like a roast with like Ninja and Dr. Lupo. And then Trevor was also on there. There was one other person, it was one of Ninja's friends, and I forget what his name was. I don't think, or maybe it was the roast of Ninja. Actually, I can just look it up. Roast of Ninja. And these are kind of concepts that, no, it was the roast of Tim the Tatman. Okay, so, and Trevor May was on there. So, and if you look at those names that were on that panel, that's humongous. So, you know, and that's kind of a brief synopsis of who Trevor May is. Now, I don't think, if you don't know who he is, that's, I would say go look him up, because I think he's pretty good. But for an athlete that also is a streamer and social media personality, I think he has some of the best content. I think you could put Trevor Bauer in that conversation as well. And it goes into a concept that I think that I've touched on a little bit. And it's basically just like people on social media becoming more popular, either within sports cards. And I think it's really going to happen within sports cards, because there aren't, like, for example, I think if there were, and I'm going to be, I don't know if this is nerding out or not, but like Nadeshot and Skump, who are Call of Duty players, if there were cards, like if a company had made cards back in the day that were like either Topps or Panini, or this is kind of Upper Deck's alley, but if they had made cards of them back in the day, those would be, I mean, I think those today would be some of the most sought after cards in the gaming space, which granted there really isn't any gamer cards, and I still I am obsessed with this concept. I'm obsessed with the concept that a company could make a Topps Chrome or a Panini Prizm product and just have Twitch streamers, like, figure out a way. Like, now at this point, Mixer is gone, so Ninja's back on Twitch. So it would be, you know, you could do, like, YouTube versus Twitch, and you kind of, I think it would have to be probably exclusive to the platform, I'd have to guess. Now, or it could be exclusive to the game, but at that point, then you're kind of making, I don't know, actually, I'm not 100% sure how they would do it, but Trevor May, essentially. What I like about those cards specifically, which I've, I don't know, I'm going to stop saying that, I think I've talked about it, but what I like about them is that he is a, he's almost more famous because of the internet than he is because of being a pitcher, which, I, you know, if he had the option, maybe he would say, I'd rather be a better pitcher, but I also think that he's positioning himself that, like, I mean, if he were to ever, like, get cut or something, I think he is probably in one of the best positions to figure out a way to, I don't know. I don't know if he, I think he, there's a possibility he may be able to make the same amount of money from, like, video games and streaming that he does in MLB. And it's insane to say that, but I think you look at some of the top tier streamers and players, maybe not pros, but, like, top tier streamers, like people on YouTube, people on Twitch, they're making, and also because Trevor May is a relief pitcher, so it's not like he is like a Mike Trout where he's making $30 million a year. I don't know what Trevor May's contract is, but if I had to guess, I would say there's probably a decent chance that he would be able to make the same amount of money from streaming that he does playing baseball. And obviously for him, he wants to do both, so, like, that's phenomenal. Actually, no, he wouldn't get cut, because that's not how it works in the majors. You just, your contract is your contract, because it's all guaranteed. So hypothetically, if after this contract is up, he doesn't re-sign with a team, then maybe that's, he just goes full-time into streaming, which I think is a, for him, that would work out fine. And I think they talked about this on the Card Talk podcast, but the concept sort of the, when you have someone new talking about cards to either their audience or, and specifically because they were talking about Logan Paul, where he's fairly new talking about sports cards to his audience, which I wish, you know, I guess it's hard to say, it's hard to tell somebody that they should have done this, because who, Logan Paul, who's going to tell Logan Paul what to and to not say? On the live stream, he was talking about the Charizard and all the cards being like $50,000, when it's like a PSA 10 is $50,000. And I think, I sort of wish he had, I don't know, I sort of wish that he had knew that, or someone had told him beforehand, been like, yeah, it's actually more like a couple $1,000s, which, granted, you're still pulling the Charizard, so it's still super crazy, but it's not, that card's not $100,000. It is for PSA 10, which is $200,000, but for the raw card, which is what they were pulling out of the pack, that's what he was saying. But, so the point is that he was, Logan Paul was essentially talking to his audience of 10 million YouTube subscribers, which I think he said, he posted some analytics, and apparently the live stream was the biggest Pokemon unboxing or box break of all time. Also, he had 2 million concurrent viewers, which I think that's unique viewers, if I remember that correctly. But I think at the peak, he was at like 350,000 people watching him break this box, which is, you know, that's a big deal. I don't think that goes unnoticed when I, at least from my commentary standpoint, I think having him start these types of, no, that's not what I'm trying to say. Having him do this box break and bring people into Pokemon, there's going to be a percentage of his audience that's interested because he talked about it. Now, it's not going to be like 50%, but even if it's 1%, well, actually, we can just do that math. So he's got 10 million on YouTube, so times 0.01. Even if it's 1%, that's 10,000 new people that are coming into the market. So I don't know what that does. Oh, actually, I guess, I mean, what it may do, it kind of depends. It, obviously, the 10,000 people that are coming into the market aren't all going to be in the same bracket of how much they can buy. You're probably going to have, of the 1%, you probably have, I don't know, like, let's see, 50% of that. I don't know what his analytics realistically look like, but I think you have a decent percentage of that is going to be like kids who probably aren't buying, but then you're going to have a decent percentage of people who are adults and have a decent amount of expendable income, and they're going to be the ones, maybe that's, I don't know, what, 5% of the 10,000, but that's maybe 5% of the people that are buying the high-value dollar cards, and that then increases the pricing of these cards, because we don't know, like, for, I don't know what it's like to be rich. I don't know if I'll ever know what it's like to be rich, but what I imagine it's like is if there is a Pokemon card that's $1,000, and there's the Pokemon, or someone maybe somebody that's done the research, because that's another thing I think that we're seeing is that people are, I've talked to Tom and Sports Card Tom, because I was talking to him about like another tradable card, and we were kind of, I was comparing it to Pokemon, and then we kind of got into a conversation about how there's people who are probably going to lose a decent amount of money in Pokemon, but it's like, yeah, I guess that's correct, they will, but it's like, if they're doing the research, which is, I don't know, it's hard for me to say one way or the other whether doing research is what puts people over the top when it comes to what they're buying, but it's hard to say that it isn't, because like the times that I can think of for myself where I've done the research, and I've done a lot of research, those have been some of the cards where I think I've made the most amount of money, and then sometimes where I don't do as much research and I kind of just go at it really quickly and don't look into it as much, that's where I've found myself losing a little bit of money. So the people that don't do the research are probably going to be the ones that lose the most amount of money. Now, people also are kind of getting into this and they're looking at it as an investment. So there's going to be times where people sell cards too early because they go down in price and they're like, well, I've just got into this and I have this amount of money and I can get out of it with, if I just sell my card, I can just get out of it kind of easily and not have to lose too much. So that's another reason why you could see volatility in the market itself. So the whole point, essentially, and this is kind of, I'm going to get back to Trevor May. So the whole point is that there's going to be a percentage of people who want to buy the cards because Logan Paul opened the box on YouTube. Now there's going to be people, there's going to be famous people, there's going to be not famous people, there's going to be a combination of all these types of people. There's going to be kids, there's going to be adults, but I think there is a decent percentage of people that will do this. Now, bringing that back to Trevor May, not obviously, but on a little bit of a smaller scale. I mean, if he were to post, like, so this is the concept. If he were to post his rookie card on every social media platform, there's probably, I don't know, I would say, I'm just making a rough estimate, I don't know for sure, there's probably 600,000, let's just say. So obviously the numbers are a lot lower for Trevor May versus Logan Paul, but there still is going to be that percentage where if someone is a diehard Trevor May fan, but they don't really like look into sports cards, and maybe they don't really know, but they see Trevor May saying, "This is my card. It's super cool." Like, and maybe he buys a bunch of them. That's gonna make other people then want to buy a bunch of these cards as well. At least this is a concept that I think is correct. It may or may not be. It may or may not be right, or it may or may not happen, but I think it's a concept and a mindset, in my opinion, where I'm looking for an avenue where, like, sure, I'll put it this way, sure, maybe, I don't know, I can't think of, maybe what happens is you have a bunch of, actually, there isn't really going to be a good comparison concept here, but I'm just going to kind of quickly talk about two things. Like, there's a guy on the Rays who's hit a bunch of home runs, who's a rookie this year, Randy, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. But so, like, there's a chance maybe you have a bunch of his cards, or you have a bunch of his cards from Bowman or Topps. And like I said, this isn't really actually a good example, but, like, those cards essentially went from, like, what's more realistic? This is kind of the thing. What's more realistic, that a player like him hits 7 home runs in the playoffs, or someone like Trevor May brings up the rookie card on his stream or on Twitter or whatever platform? That it's kind of, in my opinion, I think it would be Trevor May's example over Randy's example. And I know it starts with an A, but I'm not going to try and pronounce his name because I don't want to embarrass myself on the podcast. But, and actually, maybe that is a decent example. Or, like, I don't know, maybe you like TJ Warren as another example. You think TJ Warren is one of your favorite players, or you just think that he has some good potential still, even though he's 5 or 6 or 7 years in the league, whatever. Say you bought a bunch of his Prism cards for a couple dollars a piece. Like, I'm buying the Trevor May cards for, like, 25 cents a piece, so it's not even, like, super crazy. But just think of it that way. Think, like, if you bought a bunch of his cards and then he goes off for 50 points in, like, 3 straight games. Like, what's more realistic, that a player that has cards that are 50 cents to a dollar scores 40 to 50 points in 3 straight games, or the Trevor May example that I just used? And I do think it is the Trevor May example. Now, it is hard to justify the concept if you don't have maybe more of a mark. If you're strictly in sports, obviously, you're going to think a little bit differently, where I think I have more of a marketing approach and mindset when I'm looking at cards. Like, I'm not just looking at players on the field. I'm looking at, like, what could happen in real life that could lead to these cards going up, and not just because they were a good player on the team. So that's where the concept idea kind of stems from. And so Trevor May is just one example. Like, I think Serena Williams was another example that I used similarly. Like, I looked at the Serena Williams cards and I said, she's the most dominant female tennis player, and she's super active in different types of communities, whether it's like with her husband, who was the co-founder of Reddit, doing, like, charities and stuff like that. So I looked at it, and I looked, and I said, well, why wouldn't these cards go up, in my opinion? Like, because of what she's doing on the court, and then also off court or field. I'm not sure what I think it's court was what they call it in tennis, but I know they play on grass, so I don't know if they call it a field, whatever. But so I looked at it, and I said, that's an area where I think the cards will go up because she's a good tennis player, also because of this other stuff that she's doing. So Trevor May is just an example. I think there are other better probably examples, but at this point, I mean, I'm still kind of looking into it, and it's still just, it's a concept that I want to share to get people to maybe think a little bit differently about cards if you're a listener of this podcast. And that's all I've got for the podcast today. So I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes. If you want to leave a review, that would be phenomenal as well. If you want to go follow me, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Reddit, all those good places. Thank you very much. I will see you in the next episode.